If you have ever been curious about Dungeons & Dragons, or the people who play it, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight, where you will learn how to be a better player and what drew people to the game in the first place. Now, join us for Insight with your host, Daniel Wells.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I am your host, Daniel Wells. And with me today is Mike Burkle.
Burkle works.
Actual play tabletop RPG player from Untitled Dice Game. They play one of the characters on this series of books known as Monster of the Week by Powered by the Apocalypse Books. Welcome on.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Whenever I normally get to the interview people from my cousin, right? Because he signed up for a networking app or something. And so it's like, boom, here's the person you're interviewing. All right, listen through all their shows. But how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Doing pretty well. I'm a little sunburned from the weekend, actually, which is really difficult to do lately with the whole COVID stuff. So I'm pretty impressed with my inability to wage war against the sun properly.
Right. So I have brought you on today to, one, talk about yourself, two, talk about your show, and three, cool odds and ends that you have in experiencing tabletop RPGs.
Yeah.
So let's start off with you. How many years have you been in the tabletop RPG game?
I think I got started about 15, 16 years ago when I was in high school. We started playing 3.5, just like kind of every now and then, not really that much. And it wasn't until 4th edition came out. I remember I was at like a Barnes & Noble and I saw there was a new edition out, and I was like, what the hell? Okay, I can get in on the ground floor on this thing. Because, like, you know, when we had played, I hadn't really GM'd or anything. I didn't really know the rules. There was a lot of math involved, and that's really not me. So with 4th being totally new, it was kind of like a fresh step for all of us. You know, it was one of those things where we could all kind of start out as newbies. Mm-hmm. So I bought a bunch of those rule books, and I was like, let's get going on this. And I haven't stepped away since.
Nice. What was your feelings on 4th edition, actually? Because I know a lot of people have mixed feelings, but it seems like you hit it off pretty well with the system.
Well, I didn't really have much to go off of in terms of previous experience anyway. Like, I didn't have a lot of the... I hesitate to say biases because I don't want anyone to think, you know, I'm part of the edition wars, because I really am not. I will say those times that I played Pathfinder, I really didn't enjoy it. You know, there's just so much going on, you know, with the feats and everything. Like, it's for me difficult to make a character in a system like 3.5 or Pathfinder that you feel good playing. You know, as far as like the challenge ratings and stuff goes. And I think from like a character creation perspective, it was a lot easier to create a viable character, you know, or a character that felt good to play and like was successful in the many combats you're going to run into in 4th. But I will say from like a GMing perspective, you know, it got, you know, kind of boring making you know, like making the encounters and everything, and then trying to keep track of where your players are in terms of like how many of their dailies have they used, how many of their encounter abilities have they used, because you know their power level drops off pretty far once they've popped a lot of those abilities, and so for me it quickly became frustrating trying to balance the challenge for my players versus not having a combat last two hours, you know?
Right.
So,
I mean, each system has their own problems. 3.5 and Pathfinder had their number crunching, and fourth edition was everybody had superpowers.
Yeah. So
a little bit of the syndrome theory going on there. Everybody's special. No one's special.
Right.
Of course, like you said, in fourth edition, it's easier to make a character who can go further, because in Pathfinder and 3.5, you could make a character who you misplaced a level or a feat and the whole character's ruined.
Oh, yeah. It's that one definitely of the downsides. Happened. Yeah. When we played Pathfinder, we had one guy who had played a crap ton of 3.5, and so he pretty much like created a character without looking at the books. And the rest of us were like fumbling through stuff. And, you know, I think we started out at like 6th level or something like that. And so, yeah. And so we get in there and we're like, 13, miss? Wow. Okay. That's rough. And he's like, I rolled an 8. I hit him 4 times. I killed half of the enemies by myself. Why didn't you do this, this, and this, and this with your character? Fuck you, Nick. Goddamn. How was I supposed to know?
Nice.
It is what it is.
Well, one thing I've kind of found that doesn't have that problem of underpowered characters or overpowered characters is Monster of the Week by the Apocalypse, which is actually the main module you all play for your show, Untitled Dice Game.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I've looked and searched everywhere, that's the show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we are creating different games under the Untitled Dice Game kind of umbrella. And our Monster of the Week thing, which is the only thing that we have going right now, this is a teaser for later, is called the Department of Deliverance campaign, where we play a group of hunters working for this totally not shadowy at all government organization called the Department of Deliverance, which basically seeks to collect interesting, quote-unquote, individuals and pit them against the things that go bump in the night to protect humanity.
Gathering cursed artifacts, you know, simple week-by-week things.
Yeah, like you do.
Which, I've got to say, through the first few episodes I've listened to, I've really enjoyed your all's effects and Foley work that have went into setting up the episode's story.
Like, oh,
where
great.
Where your DM's doing the narration beginning and all the walking through setting up the mystery. I really think that's a good thing that Monster of the Week needs, is setting up the mystery instead of just jumping headlong.
I agree.
Backstory.
I've GM'd Monster of the Week a couple times, and I have to say Chris is a lot better at it than I am because of the way that he does that. I mean, he must put a lot of work into like those setups, and I know he puts a lot of work into like making sure that it's you know, a teaser that sounds appealing and gets everybody interested. And I have to also credit Dora, who does all of our music and all of our editing. They are fantastic. It's great, all the stuff that they do. So big shout out to Dora. They get happy every time I mention their accolades.
Well, all of the Powered by the Apocalypse books are very much story driven because the dice rolls are just 2d6. It's all the only dice you need, and so your guide is more or less relying on the players to give them something to push the story forward to. It's cause and effect, reaction to every action.
So something that you know, if some of the listeners aren't familiar with Powered by the Apocalypse games, they're all 2d6 plus whatever modifier you use. And when you get a 10 or above, you succeed with no caveats. A 7 to 9 is a success, but so there's something, you know, negative that happens as well. And then a 6 or lower is a big fail, basically. And that's what made me fall in love with games like Monster of the Week or Dungeon World. That are Powered by the Apocalypse games is, you know, it always troubled me when I played D&D, you know, the hard and fast success to fail was just always, like, it always bothered me, like, oh, if only there was something else I could do. But I noticed whenever I tried to do like a success butt as a GM, the players were always like, excuse me, I rolled a 16 and you said the DC was 14. I succeeded there. Why did something bad happen to me? Which is fair, like, because I find myself doing that too, when I'm like, no, I wanted to win! And that's, you know, one of the things that I really like about the system is it's very easy to create a shared storytelling experience, which is what we plan to do, what we try to do in UDG. You know, we have a conversation with the GM as players and with each other to create this story together rather than, you know, Chris, our GM, dictating everything, and we are simply the pawns in his grand schemes. Which sometimes it feels like that anyway, because he's a tricksy one. He's a sly fox, that Chris.
There's not a lot of railroad going on. It's branching paths depending on actions that the players take, instead of a normal game where it's like, all right, I'm trying to get the characters to point A to point B. Your guys are going from point A, maybe hitting point C, D, or F.
Oh yeah. That happens all the time. Chris is really good about not going like, well, that was unexpected, like I'll do sometimes in IGM, where I'm just like, guys, really? Okay, cool, I guess that's where we're going. But I know we have to, offset some of his schemes, pretty often, especially my character, because, Nina Kozlov, the, Russian spellslinger that I play, she's a wild card.
So, speaking of her, your character is based off of the playbook spellslinger?
Yeah. So when I first found Monster of the Week, I created this character. I really liked the spellslinger. I actually wrote a little bit about the playbook for our blog, because I thought that the sound of it was just so great. You know, like, in a lot of other games, you have, like, the wizard or the sorcerer or whatever, and they always sound really good at the magic that they do, but just the term spellslinger just made me think of someone that really didn't have it all together as far as this whole magic thing went. And so for me, that, like, really inspired me to create Nina, who comes from a long history of sorcerers, but she's kind of the last of her line, and both of her parents died when she was very young, so she's kind of this self-trained, so to speak, yes, kind of wizard. And her craziness and my inability to roll anything above a 6 makes it to where, you know, her spells go awry more often than not. And that's actually the way I wanted the character to play, so it works. Because, I just really like the idea of someone that, you know, wanted to destroy monsters and wanted to be the hero, but just sucks at what they do, you know, just causes more problems than they do find solutions. So I'm really happy the way Nina's turned out, even if she does end up getting clobbered most of the time.
Yeah, but then again, the system itself runs pretty well with failure, as every time you fail, you gain experience, which mm-hmm. is kind of like, oh no, I failed this kickflip and scraped my knee. Well, I know how to do it better next time. Mm-hmm. For spellcasters, it's like, okay, here's how I messed up the spell. Looks like I can get a little bit better. I had a friend of mine playing one of the systems before, and in 2 sessions, she leveled up twice. That's about all the time she's rolled below the number.
Yeah.
So you must be getting pretty high level with her.
That happens later. I'm trying not to spoil anything, but there's an event that happened where Nina actually loses command of her magic for a little bit. Like, she totally lost all of her magical ability because of something that happened to one of the other hunters, and that really affected her mentally. And so she has this whole kind of arc where instead of getting new skills, I'm literally rebuying her magic, right? Like her skills, right, from her playbook. And I think I still have more abilities than most of the other hunters, even from like rebuying all of my other ones because I failed so much.
Speaking of playbooks, would you mind going in a little bit explaining what playbooks are?
Yeah. So rather than classes, a lot of the Powered by the Apocalypse games have what are called playbooks. They're not as hard and fast as like classes in like D&D, and the abilities that you gain are much more narrative than they are mechanical. The way that Powered by the Apocalypse games work is, rather than abilities, you have what are called moves, right? And they're meant to be used like with triggers. So the kick your ass move, or kick some ass move rather, in Monster of the Week says something to the effect of, when you get into a scrape with somebody, roll plus tough, right? So you take your 2d6, you roll it, you add your tough modifier, and that's it. So rather than being like, you know, I want to roll kick some ass on this guy, you describe what your character does, and then you apply the move that's relevant to that, if there is one. If there isn't, you just do it and it's fine. Usually there is. Like, if your character starts, you know, looking around for signs of the monster, you might, that sounds probably like investigate a mystery. So you roll your investigate a mystery. And the playbooks all work that way too. So rather than like, oh, you get plus one to your strength or something like that, all of your abilities have something to do with your playbook that affects the story, and through that, they affect the game mechanically. Like, you might get a plus one to investigate a mystery in some sort of circumstance, or I know Nina has an ability that allows her to ask another question when she investigates a mystery. She gets to also ask, like, what magic has been done here, you know? So rather than these things being mechanical, like number crunching stuff like you might find in Pathfinder, like you get a plus two when you grapple somebody or something like that. It's supposed to add to the conversation rather than being strictly mechanical. I mean, obviously no system's perfect, and I think there are a lot of ways in a lot of these games where, yeah, it doesn't exactly do that, but narrative systems like, you know, Monster of the Week, I find make it a lot more interesting when the players and the GM are working together, you know, to create this story. Even when you get into a fight, you know, it's not just like, you take damage, I take damage, you take damage, I take damage. It's about how you work together and what happens, rather than, you know, subtracting HP until one of you falls on the floor.
Well, to do something like that, I feel like you'd probably need a very tight-knit group of people that you may have known for a little while, especially since you all are doing a podcast of it, right? So, like, how long have you known the rest of the crew, and what was the spark, I guess? Because you guys it hasn't been out that long.
No.
But it's still really good, and the way you interact with each other is still very good. So, has this been on the works for a while, or did it just heat of the moment happen?
No, I actually didn't meet any of these guys. None of us had ever met each other before COVID. Pretty much when everyone started, staying inside, you know, that, like, on a lot of the RPG, subreddits and stuff on Reddit, people were like, I need to play a game or I'm going to go insane. And I applied to a game on Reddit, and that's how I met Chris. And then Chris started GMing for a couple different groups using the grandmother's nursery, I think is what it's called. We call it Grandma Spider, right? Because it's this spider monster thing. So he GM'd a bunch of groups of that. And then we all got into one Discord and started playing together. And he's like, you know, I think we got something here. You guys are pretty cool. Anyone want to do a podcast? And a bunch of us were like, yes, we have nothing else to do.
So I appreciate that it seems like we've been together for a long time. I think that has a lot to do with the quality of the players that we have and
just the general inventiveness. A lot of the people that we have, are writers or creators in their own right, separate from this. Like, I know Ollie, who plays Maxwell. Yeah. He does, movie reviews on Facebook. Sarah, who plays Joe and later Sherry, she's done, some fiction work. I write fiction as well. So a lot of us, we have, just creative outlets in general. And I think that contributes a lot to our group dynamic. Also, I will say a lot of us are what I affectionately deem us shit fuckers. where we like to poke beehives and sleeping bears and just get into trouble in general. So there's a lot of shit fucking that goes on, and I think in general, most of us are like, yes, yes, absolutely, make that horrible idea. This is going to be fun. And I think that contributes well.
Right. Well, I'm glad that even though, it's good to be able to get together, because a lot of people don't know, if you don't have any chemistry with each other playing a game, it's not going to last very long.
No.
You see that? I got that from Adventure League whenever I went there one time. The table didn't really have any chemistry going on there. The only funny chemistry we had is me, my cousin, and a friend of mine all came in as Dragonborns, like a different version of a Dragonborn with a different class. And for some reason, the one random other guy there was also a Dragonborn with another class, and then two other random people. It was the funniest stuff.
That's awesome.
But yeah, if you don't have chemistry, things aren't going to work out. So you want to form that chemistry, which you all seem to have, which is really awesome.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Let me check real quick. Yeah, we still got plenty of time. Still got a whole 9 minutes. Is there anything you wanted to ask me?
Have you played any of the narrative systems? I know you guys do a lot of D&D stuff.
I personally have played Dungeon World. This is the experience I had where my friend leveled up to level 3
yeah.
in a couple of sessions, which I really liked. Played a cleric with a very raspy voice.
Oh. And
that went over very well. I was very sick that one day and the voice just kind of stopped. So, there's that. I recently started playtesting for another one of my buddies, who, same thing, right? Went onto a forum for Dungeons & Dragons Pathfinder games and found a big group of people, and one of them was making their own system.
Oh.
Which currently they're making what's called Witch Doctors. Hmm. You probably never heard of it, but it uses 3d20s as the system.
Oh, boy.
You take the middle result out of the three rolls.
Oh.
And it's interesting and very narrative focused. Like, I played a hypnotist, and the way my magical abilities triggered was I would do weird stuff with a pocket watch and stuff like that. I'm very in depth whenever I try to do cool stuff, which is also what we do in our podcast, is we do a lot of describe what you're doing, because this is a narrative thing we're listening to. I'm trying to think if there's any other I played GURPS one time. That was very weird.
I've never played GURPS before, but every time I hear someone talk about it, I'm like, what is this? What is happening?
I had a guy with wings that could fly and a buster sword that rode a giant mechanical spider that killed the Kool-Aid man. It got out there.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty out there. Yeah.
But I don't know, it's narrative focused games I really enjoy a lot. Sometimes I really do enjoy the number crunching. Do you enjoy being a player more or a DM more?
Ooh, that is a hard one. I think I enjoy GMing more, because I can't help but think about like GMing in general. Like I've been one of those forever GMs for a long time. Like no one in my real life friend group, my meat space friend group, I guess I should say, because it's all real life. That's not fair to everybody in the podcast. My meat space friends, no one ever wanted to GM. So even if I wanted to be a player, it was always me GMing. And there gets to a point where you're just like, I need to play a game. Who cares? I'll GM this one. Just play. I need to do something. So it's interesting being Nina and not being the one going, ooh, I know what happens here. I know what happens here. This should blow up, or someone should come in here. And I've really tried to embrace, you know, just being Nina and not trying to run the world from behind the screen or something. It is difficult when you've been a GM for so long to kind of break yourself of that habit, which is one of the reasons why I made Nina just so restless in general. You know, she's not one of, you know, if this was D&D, she's not one of those people that's going to be like looking around the corner, making a perception check, having her safe, you know, 10-foot stick to check for traps. Hell no. Nina's running the hell in there and blasting before she starts asking questions. And that for me was one of those ways to not try to GM things, you know, to not try and, you know, be part of the larger world, you know, just stick with Nina and what she does. And it's really easy when you're like, okay, what would my character do, when her first instinct is just to run in, you know, hands blazing.
Just take the concept of metagaming.
Yeah, just take that out of there. Yeah, because otherwise, you know, in other games I've played, you know, when I was a player, I've been that guy where I'm like, okay, well, if I were the GM, this is what I'd do. So I'll check this corner, I'll check that corner. Maybe there's an illusory wall here, you know, and I didn't want to be that guy, especially on a podcast.
You ever, like, use that knowledge, like, this is what the GM would do. I'm going to do exactly what he wants me to do. Like, there's a creature that heals off lightning, and I shot lightning into it. Just for fun, even though I knew the character didn't, so I just shot lightning into it.
Yeah, that's good. I definitely struggle, you know, as a recovering World of Warcraft addict. I know it's definitely hard for me to do the thing that I know is wrong when there's, you know, the objective that we could be reaching, which I think is what one of those things that made 4th edition easier to get into was, oh, this works like World of Warcraft. That's nice. I've definitely tried to do the thing where, you know, you do the thing your character would do rather than, like, use your GM knowledge. I usually get a lot of weird looks for that, though, because, like, you knew that. I'm like, yeah, but...
You knew!
I didn't know that I knew that. So...
I'm working with a split personality here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what they get into at night. I'm just in bed at the time.
It is a difficult line to walk.
Well, it sounds like you all on your show have a lot of cool stuff in store. You all get together well, have a lot of experience to push the narrative forward. Any hopes that once everything kind of dies down, con appearances? If things get good enough?
Man, that would be cool. It's not something that I've thought of myself. But, I mean, it's one of those things that I would love to do. I mean, hell, why not? Like I said, we're trying to kind of branch out and have Untitled Dice Game as kind of a general umbrella thing. So we're starting a Twitch game soon. I know, where we'll be playing Blades in the Dark, which I will be GMing, with a world that I created myself, a couple of years ago, and it's really in depth. It's actually a world that I started working on for a novel, at one point. So I've got, like, a lot of the world, and I know a lot of the things that happen. We've been working with an artist to get, like, portraits for our characters made, so we're hoping that it'll be a pretty high production value stream. Yeah. And there aren't a lot of people out there playing Blades in the Dark right now, it seems like, on Twitch, which is crazy because it's an amazing system. it's basically a system where everyone's some sort of rogue. And for me, that I know the guy that's like, can we just sneak around and do crime? That's what Blades in the Dark is, all the time. Yeah,
where everyone is shady.
Exactly. Yeah, it's you know, everything's, you know, gangs. The natural setting is like Victorian England gone really, really crappy. Like the sun is black and stuff. Like it's just a bad place. But yeah, it's very much a corrupt city where you have to do bad things in order to get ahead. It's very much like Peaky Blinders, the system. And the world that I've created, Abaddon, works very much in that way. The city has been taken over by this crazy autocrat called the Master Shaper, who has a golem army that he uses to keep control of all the folks. And there's like this deadly miasma that blows in from the sea that will corrupt the spirits of the living and dead if they breathe it in. And the city is just gone to hell. And the 4-player party that we have playing, they're like war vets that have just come back to their city and now seeing it, you know, taken over by this crazy dude, and you know, seeing the city that they grew up in, you know, plunged into the depths of hell. They're like, well, screw this. We can do something about that. And so they start as a gang of vigilantes, and they're going to eventually try to take down this crazy dude in this terrible world. So it'll be fun.
All right. Well, we are unfortunately coming to the end of our time together. So Mike, I wanted to thank you so much for being on. You can catch Mike and his crew over at Untitled Dice Game, where they play Monster of the Week, and soon seems to be other projects.
Yep.
Do you have any plugs you want to throw in right quick?
You can follow me at UDG Mike. That's my personal Twitter. I stream sometimes on Twitch. That's at Emberfang, EmberFang. But my computer kind of sucks for it for some reason. I can't figure out why. So I would just say follow us on Facebook, Untitled Dice Game. Same thing. Twitter, Untitled Dice. Our website, follow us on Untitled Dice Game on Twitch, because we should be starting that new campaign before the year is out. And just, man, play systems. Go out there, find systems that you like. Hit us up if you need recommendations. One of my favorite things about, you know, the RPG community is it's one big sharing love fest. You know, everyone's always out to help each other have fun. So if you need system recommendations or you have anything, let us know. You know, it's cool to branch out and get into new stuff, don't you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's always good to jump into a new system that you've never touched before, though the difficulty is getting into it,
but oh, yeah.
Once you're into it, it's tons of fun.
Yeah.
And all those show links, as well as their YouTube channel, Untitled Dice Game, will also be in the show notes below. And at the end of the show, I normally do a piece of insight, like my guest and I give a piece of insight, kind of the namesake of the show. But you just seem to have given your insight right there. You jumped the gun. Oh, yeah, shoot. Go ahead.
The episode, the last insight episode that you had, and you guys were talking about like character death. And I was like, I want to be in on this conversation really badly. Because I'm one of those guys that does not do character death very much at all. Because for me, I think if death is the worst thing that can happen to your character, someone's not doing their job right, you know? And so, like, my insight that I would have had for that episode was, think about what's worse for your character than dying, and use that as your motivation. You know, like death isn't the end. There should be so many worse things for your character than dying, because, you know, then I don't know, their little sister, you know, isn't going to get into grad school or something like that, you know? And as a GM, make sure your characters have that motivation that you can pull on that keeps them going forward.
Thank you for that insight. Mine is, go out there and find your chemistry group. That's how I'm going to title it and name it. Find your chemistry group. It might not even be your friends, right? It might not be even your close circle. They might not be into it. You can just go onto some online forum and find people that you'll be able to play with for years to come. Anyway, thank you all for listening to Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I've been Daniel Wells with Mike Burkell.
That's fine.
You got to tell me what's the actual pronunciation.
It's Burkell. It's a gross name. I don't like it. I don't actually use it anymore. I have a pen name that I go by for our UGG stuff, because I don't like my last name. It's bad. So just forget you ever heard it, people.
All right. And with that, I will catch you all later. Goodbye.